You know what time it is.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Jason Anderson.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
Reddish tipped it. Barrett took it away. 4-on-2. Barrett down the lane with a two-handed flush. Timeout, Kentucky. It's 20-8 with 13:20 to play in the first half.
It happens with young guys when they struggle. They get a little rattled, so you got to be careful that you're teaching, yet like today I was pretty, you know, I didn't say that much to a couple guys. I got on for simple things, but it's hard. I mean, you're just going to have to go to work, and you're going to have to teach, and you're going to have to get them to play in a way that they can have success.
It's finally caught up to Bobby Petrino. It wasn't that long ago that Bobby Petrino was in the SEC at Arkansas about 8 years ago and considered the second best coach to Nick Saban. He went to Louisville, of course, and he built quite a program there, but it's over for him.
Come on, everybody.
You're in the Zone.
In the Zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
I don't even know what's going on in the world. Is gas still $17 a gallon? I don't know. I just show up and pump the gas and hope it fills all the way up my credit card passes. That's all I do.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I work really hard. You should never fire me because of how hard I work.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville. On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Anybody with a brain knows you don't have one.
Dave Skoll hanging out with us on this Wednesday edition of The Zone. Moving it now to Wednesdays at 5 o'clock instead of Tuesdays. Dulcet tones, the lovely tones of one Dave Skoll. Here we go.
You're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew before. Between the skies, no, I loved you more. It took me by surprise, I must say. When I found out yesterday, don't you know I heard it through the grapevine? Not much longer would you be. To be my baby. Ooh. I knew a man ain't supposed to cry, but these tears I can't hold inside. Losing you would be my life, you see, 'cause you mean that much to me. You could have told me by yourself that you love someone else. Longer would you be mine? Oh, I heard it through the grapevine, and I'm just about to lose my mind, honey, honey. Yeah.
The grapevine. How much longer would you be my baby? Ooh.
People say many times of what you see, son, and none of what you hear, but I can't help but be confused. If it's true, please tell me, dear, do you plan to let me go for the other guy you loved before? Don't you know I heard it through the grapevine? Not much longer would you be mine, baby.
Baby.
Time for the text messages, 437-9680.
I love the text messages.
You should see my face when I get in the car after work. Forget it's karaoke day, and this stuff comes on, right?
So he's that happy.
Texas says, don't play around with Marvin Gaye, the GOAT.
It's out of love. I love Marvin Gaye so
100%.
Much.
Yeah, you and I are in agreement there.
He's a big part of my life.
I've said that I'd love to do a couple of Otis Redding songs. Like, I'd be all for that. But right now,
you
want to
get on the Marvin Gaye, Sam Cooke.
Yeah, right.
Otis Redding.
I mean, I'm
Smokey Robinson, Al Green.
I'm good with all of those.
We'll murder the whole song.
That's exactly right. Yes.
I'm so proud of you guys.
We will tear the whole damn thing down. Motown never sounded so bad.
Never sounded so bad.
Like, I don't remember Motown sounding like that. You don't?
You don't?
You don't remember that?
You've never been on...
Oh.
Man.
I'm not doing the other
Don't
thing.
Do it.
I'm not doing the other
Not
thing.
Right now. Don't do it.
I've been loving you.
One a week.
Too long.
One legend of soul a week is all we get to ruin for the people of Louisville.
I'm not saying.
No.
All right. Let's see. It says, did they pick this song because Brahm is coming to town?
It was definitely topical.
There's always a topical thing. Texas says, Jesus, who's strangling that cat? I don't know, but that's weird. Texas says, are you torturing cats on the air?
Yes.
Not bad. Y'all need to do some new addition if it isn't Love or Mr. Telephone Man.
Oh, dude, if you want. Yeah, we'll probably, like, maybe some Bobby. Every little step.
Every little step, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would have said...
I love New Edition, though.
See, I would have said maybe at the beginning of the year, we could have done New Edition, Cool It Now.
Mm. Yeah.
You gotta cool it now.
Is Hit the Road Jack in the queue?
Stop watching. You're gonna lose control.
Or maybe Candyman. Mm, not at all.
Right, yes. Candyman was great because Candyman, when Napster was out and LimeWire... Yeah. Everything by New Edition was by the Jackson 5. Because everything was mislabeled on LimeWire.
Candy Girl. What were we saying? Candy it's Candy Girl. Girl. Candy Girl, not Candyman. Good Lord.
I was going to the LimeWire and the Napster thing with the New Edition. Everything was Jackson 5.
Everything was Jackson 5.
If it was New Edition, if it was any, it was all done by Jackson 5.
Stone Temple Pilots was all Nirvana.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Pearl Jam.
So true. Let's see. This is the equivalent to getting Rickrolled.
Yeah.
You guys should do Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Nah. Oh, man, I have too much respect.
Texas says, I'm generally in favor of this awful segment, but besmirching Motown is just shock jock stuff.
Well, that hurts my soul because of how much I
know,
love.
Man.
Like, Motown is my favorite genre of music and early soul.
Yes, I'm with you. So, yeah. Texas says, how about this, huh? To be honest, that's the best one you've done. Well, I appreciate that. I don't think it was, but I appreciate that.
I don't think it was either, because it's tough to even, and I'm not even saying that we were.
Uh-huh.
But even if you're singing the right notes.
Yes.
It's tough when you're singing with Marvin.
Texas says that actually was one of the least offensive versions of your hideous karaoke bits.
That's fair.
It's not a bit. It's just our lives.
It's not a bit. Yeah,
it's like, not a bit. I mean, we're not doing a bit. We're
called this a bit?
This is us. By the way, I didn't even know that thing was down. Either way.
We're allowing you in our lives, in our friendship for 1 hour a week. This is our lives. It's not a bit.
And it's really in our lives for this 4 minutes. Because now you know what it's like to be around us at all times. Texas says, The Animals, House of the Rising Sun, and Please Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. Texas says, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
that might be coming around the bend.
Oh, we're going to have some Christmas
is Brahm.
Music.
All I Want for Christmas is Brahm.
That would be the Louisville fans, yes.
Yeah.
They would, the entire
Not just the
course.
Louisville fans.
Oh, I see what he did there. Did you? Jason.
I see what he did there, Dave. Dave, I see what he did there, okay?
It was about your wife, Jason. It was a joke about your wife.
Hey, thanks for explaining the joke, guy. Hey, it's explain the joke, guy. No. You see, the chicken wanted to cross the road.
You don't understand.
You don't understand. Like, it needed to get to the other side. Yeah, but I don't get the joke. Well, the joke is that it's just sort of not necessarily a joke. It's just saying that it needed to go to the other side. Yeah, but that's not funny. Nah, you don't understand.
Nah,
you don't get comedy. Yeah. You don't get comedy. Yeah, because I didn't hear that at all yesterday when we announced we were having child number two.
Oh!
Yeah, I didn't hear that at all.
By the way.
Anywhere that
congratulations, man.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart.
Congratulations to me or somebody at West Lafayette.
I wasn't even going
to
say that.
Well, you didn't have to.
I was going
to
let it stand alone.
You didn't have to. That was the joke.
Definitely congratulations to your wife. Congratulations to your son.
At least congratulations to them. That much we know. We know this. We know he's going to be an older brother, and we know she is having her second child. That much we can prove.
You're the world's best stepfather, man. We know that.
We joke all the time that I'm like...
Adoptive father. I don't even know how this works.
It's stepdad.
Oh, no. I had a great idea yesterday, to remember this. Well, we'll forget about it, and I'll remember it a couple months. Like, next year when it's his birthday, we need to get him a world's best stepdad mug.
And just, you know, for all the texters that are complaining or celebrating with us, just remember... I have throat issues today.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you've got an excuse. I don't know. I mean, the Q sticks here. It's not really great.
You've got my B-plus game at best.
Uh-huh. Texas says, I sing so bad I don't like to hear myself sing. Thanks for making me sound good. Texas says, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was good. Maybe just all the other ones were bad.
I can see that.
Okay. So the world's favorite, world's best stepdad is certainly going to be one that number one stepdad, whatever.
Are you going to find out what you're having?
We are going to wait till birth.
Awesome, man.
We are going to wait till she introduces us to the world.
Did we
introduce her to the world?
Now, are you planning to have two names ready in the eventual?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Did you find out with
Everett? We found out with Everett. Yeah, okay. We did the whole baby reveal, all that stuff. We went down that road. But now, like, it doesn't bother us either. Like, we're not, rooting
for
another.
Did you guys do the thing where you, threw a balloon full of blue and a balloon full of pink?
Oh, we did it on our we did it on our one-year anniversary. And so it was an anniversary / baby reveal. So our anniversary cake was the color of blue.
I gotta say though, like that's simple. Everybody else out there, the gender reveal parties—they're getting out of hand.
Oh, especially the ones that, like, when you're throwing a pitch to somebody supposed to swing and hit it, and the guy takes it. He just takes the pitch, ball one, and it splashes on the ground. It's like that's.
Do you think it wasn't gonna break?
Yes. Has there been one that somebody the mom throws the pitch and the guy hits it doesn't break but it comes back and hits her? Has there been one of those yet?
Probably.
Because there should be. Okay. Because there should be. Like, look, I would like it to be a girl because I got a boy and we have a boy, but it would be cool for the wife to have her daughter. That'd be nice, but we don't really care as long as it's healthy. So the baby comes out, it's a boy, it's a girl, we're good.
I love what you're saying right now. He wants a girl.
I do.
If it comes out that way in about 10-11 years, he may regret that statement.
Right.
No.
Well, at least it looks like Jeff's probably coming back to Louisville. So I mean, it's gonna be one big awkward happy family. I'm excited.
Oh, Thanksgivings are so weird.
It can be.
He's always on the road. He's never around on Thanksgiving. He's the exact opposite of a helicopter dad.
It can be tough co-parenting when you're in two different cities. So.
It's not easy to do that. Yes. We do have a sort of the running joke with the show. But I've joked with my wife that, if I didn't know any better, I would say that my brother was the father of my son.
Oh.
He's got so many traits of my brother. It's crazy. He's got my brother's exact widow's peak. I don't have freckles. My brother has freckles. He's got the freckles like my brother. He's got, this is weird. This is crazy. My brother has a birthmark on his right shin halfway up. Literally the exact same birthmark is on my son's right shin halfway up. It's weird. Like, it is so weird. Like, we found out all these things as it's kind of gone along, and we're like, it's really, really odd. His hair is exactly like my brother's hair.
How close are you and your brother, Jason?
Very close, sir. Very close, okay? That's the running joke about that. But anyway, it's either Brahms or it's his. I don't know. Clearly, it's not mine.
Yeah.
You know, the kid can't shoot a basketball to save his life. It's clearly not my child.
Well,
all right? Can't hold a sentence. Might be my child. Didn't want to talk into the microphone. Definitely not my child.
When he starts speaking complete sentences, if he just goes for like 30 minutes and doesn't stop, we know. Right. We know.
Well, he did after we turned the mics off and we went to break. Magic knows this for a fact. The little dude sat right here and wouldn't talk. I was trying to get him to talk. He talks all the time about the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes.
We finally got him to say Pat Mahomes one time.
Pat Mahomes.
We turn the mics off. We send it to break. The show's over. We take the headsets off. He starts talking like he's, like he's trying to, get a lesser sentence. He points over like process there. He goes, who's that kid? Like to process. And he's like, oh, who's that over there? Who's that kid? And I'm like, what are you talking? What? Like,
He saw Tom Brady on TV. Like the rest of America, he was just enraptured with the beauty of Tom Brady.
Texas says,
don't you throw me in with the rest of America, though.
Texas says, this was the first time my wife heard your karaoke. She asked, they're going to sing the whole song? You're damn right we are. Texas says, is Louisville the only real choice? This is an actual question. Is Louisville the only real choice for Jeff Brohm, or are other schools courting him as well?
Hello, ladies.
I think other schools that are open would definitely court Jeff Brohm. The question is, who's open at the level that Jeff Brohm would leave Purdue for right now that would also pay him $5 million? Because Louisville's going to have to pay him $5 million.
And the NFL. Honestly,
exactly.
Because he fits the profile, and he's what people need to realize. And I went over this a lot when we hosted Drew's show last week. Is we're not going after Jeff because he's a Louisville guy. We have a shot at Jeff because he's a Louisville guy. He is one
that's
of the
right.
next hot names in coaching. You know, that's it's not
if Jeff Brohm was from Iowa.
Yeah,
he's not going to Louisville.
No, Purdue to Louisville would be considered more of a lateral move. But since we are Louisville, we're his hometown. He's the crown prince of Louisville football, you know. Played here his whole family. We don't have to go over his whole biography.
Jurich is no longer the AD.
Jurich is no longer the AD. That's why we have a shot at him.
Yeah. And so if he were to leave Purdue for what wouldn't be a quote-unquote blue blood or the NFL, it would be Louisville.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think if he's offered the same exact money in the offseason and Lincoln Riley's still at Oklahoma. Look, the Bears hire Bruce Arians,
yeah.
who's actually on record and saying, I would coach the Browns.
Yeah.
Hire Bruce Arians, who's on record as saying, yeah, I'd coach the Browns.
Like, by the way, that might be the best move like an NFL coach has ever made. Well, we didn't get Pat Mahomes. All right, I'm retiring. Well, the other team got Baker Mayfield, and he looks pretty good.
I'll coach him, yeah. You didn't get Pat Mahomes. This is my last year. Legit, Bruce Arians would be the head coach if Pat Mahomes was the quarterback in Arizona.
Yeah.
He didn't get him, didn't want to go through another rebuild with trying to coach another quarterback up. Sam Bradford sucks as well.
Sorry, Larry.
Yeah,
so can't stay here anymore.
Like, I'm out.
I like Josh Rosen, though.
I'm out. Well, I do, too. Yeah.
No, but I know
but
why
he wasn't
left,
the coach
yeah.
when they drafted Rosen, yeah. So he's like, I'm out. And then he's like, well, if I come back to football, I'd coach Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. I'm good with that, you know.
Fair enough.
So if the Browns go, okay, do we go to the Sean McVay, sort of the new age, what the Rams did, and get Lincoln Riley, who's really young, or do we go with a proven guy that did it in Pittsburgh and did it in Indianapolis and did it in Arizona and has proven that he can coach winning football other than, you know, not like Hugh Jackson, who's proven he can lose a lot of games a lot of different ways. That would make a lot of sense to me. If I was a Cleveland Browns fan, I would love Bruce Arians to be the head coach.
Oh, for sure.
Like you would shoot your shot and say, what's the, you know, the home run could be Lincoln Riley, that could be Sean McVay. But I feel like it's not only a bird in the hand, but it's a really good coach in Arians, so I would take him in a heartbeat. And if that's the case, and Lincoln Riley's still at OU, and Clay Helton's got a $20 million buyout, and Gus Malzahn's already been given the, you know, he's returning next year, and that's believable because he's owed $30 million in a buyout. $16 million of that has to be written and given in the first 30 days. He's owed $16 of that in the first month. So they, unlike Bobby, when people are going, they don't have the money to pay $14 million right now. No, they don't right now. But it's quarterly installments until it's paid in full. Auburn has to write a $16 million check to Gus Malzahn in the first month if he's fired at the end of the season. And so those things all happening around no other obvious Power 5 team coming open outside of Louisville that would be on a level that he's not going to North Carolina. You know, if North Carolina fires, if Texas Tech moves on, like he's not going to go live in Lubbock. Like that ain't happening.
Lubbock.
It's the only way to say it, man. You got to say it like the the ones
you gotta
that are
say
there.
Like
the locals.
Swallowing it.
You gotta say like the locals. Lubbock. Lubbock. So we ain't going there. It's a matter of, is he willing to make the move right now, given the chance that a big time blue blood in Ohio State maybe, or in Oklahoma, or if something else were to come up, or an NFL job were to come calling, and he doesn't want to feel obligated that he just took the Louisville job and then the NFL comes calling, he's like, oh, 2 years later, sorry Louisville, I'm going to the NFL. Like, would he feel
that's the only obligated judge
to turn that down, or does he say, I'm gonna stay here a couple more years and see what happens?
He doesn't strike me, and it's not like I'm a close family friend, but Jeff doesn't strike me as an NFL guy, but he could be. I mean, he absolutely would do well at that level, I think. But
I think he would do well at that level. And
he's a family guy, and I just feel like there's something
about
him.
I think he'd coach in the NFL. I do. I think he'd take the job right now if somebody in the NFL offered him the job.
I'm not trying to be naive. I mean, I understand.
Family guy.
I
mean, I'm not trying to be naive here. I mean, I'm not saying Louisville's better than anything. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like it feels like this would be his only. The NFL's going to be there. This would be his only chance to come back and do this. If this is what's you know what he wants.
Well, let's talk about this then.
Although the other side, somebody could say, well, the NFL, Louisville's always going to be there in 10 years. You know?
I would also say if he's saying no, I will return to Louisville. I will take the job. If that's the case, the question is how much more would Purdue have to pay him to keep him there from him turning down the Louisville job? Anything right. Louisville matches, he would take the Louisville job.
I don't.
So if it's $5 million and Purdue says we'll pay you $5 million and Louisville says we'll pay you $5 million, he would take the Louisville job.
I think so.
If he's willing, from everything
I've heard, and these are not my, you know.
But I'm not saying guaranteed. I'm giving a preface of if he's internally willing and saying, no, I'll take the Louisville job. I'll leave right now. And if the Louisville job, if Tyree comes and calls my name, I'll take the Louisville job. If that is the case, I'm not saying it is, but if that is the case, how much more would Purdue have to pay him for him to go, I love Louisville, but I'm going to probably stay here? Because if it's the same, again,
who knows? I have no idea.
With the preface of him saying I would take the job, if that was the case, anything Louisville matches, he would leave. But if Louisville's going to go up to $5 million, which is what it's going to take to get him from Purdue,
for sure,
you would think Purdue would want to match with what he's done so far, or would they go up to six? Would that even get it for Brom? Would they have to go up to like seven and say, hey, you're our Urban Meyer. We're going to take care of you at $7 million a year here at Purdue because we see what you're doing. Like, I don't know that you can.
Will they?
If you're at Purdue. But Louisville, when we talk about finding the money and finding the money, it's finding the money to buy out Bobby. It's finding the money to buy out Brom. And it's also finding the money that you're going to be paying him $1 million more a year than you're paying Bobby Petrino. Because you're paying Bobby right now four. I really do think it takes five to get Brom.
I 100% agree. That's the number I've been thinking this whole time, is that we're going to be paying Brom $5 million a year. And that's not a hometown discount. That's just what he's worth, I think.
Yeah.
But looking around.
Yeah, he's not given a hometown discount anymore.
He's not. No. I never expected him to.
If he won five games last year and five games this year, maybe it's like, all right, it's like the Louisville job and a hometown discount. But dude might win the West this year in the Big Ten.
But that's the thing.
Like, he took his players and is winning his way. Like, he took your players and I'm winning this way.
Yeah,
so it's year two. Not even his players. Yeah.
It's year two. But I think back to what Tom said about Charlie Strong when he took the Texas job. At some point he said it's not about money. At some point we don't have what they offer. We don't have what he wants. You have to want to be here. And I'm not saying that's the deal with Purdue, but we do have top five facilities and we're home. We're home. We have something that nobody else can offer. Texas has something that Louisville can never offer. You know, that top five traditional power that we just never were going to get for him. Even if everybody around him could see that it probably wasn't the best fit, at the end of the day, they were offering something that Louisville just couldn't offer, and I feel like we're offering something that Purdue could never offer.
So here's the next question then, and this is where I want to run into what's going on currently, what Mark Ennis has been all over in the transfers, and now the latest. If you're just joining us, I want to get it right in the report from Mark Ennis, so I will pull up that
tweet.
He's
doing work lately, isn't he?
He is, and I brought this up as to who you're going to believe right now. I'll take my chances with Mark Ennis.
I've cast my lot with Mark.
Absolutely.
And like just last week I was on his show, and we were going back and forth about the – oh, yeah, he does. It's weird. We were going back and forth about the nature of our job on the radio, especially you and Mark, as you do it every day. We're not reporters. We generally don't break news. We're analysts, and we react, you know.
Yeah.
And I won't say anything to you unless I know 100% it's true, you know, pretty much. And there's a difference between sources that I trust and reportable sources.
Agreed.
And we've said that 100, like we went over and over. We had a whole, because it was the day that it was the rumor day. You know, it was the tornado.
I was in Destin that day.
Yeah, you were.
And I was trying to follow from afar and not being ingrained and sort of surrounded by it and engulfed in it. I was following from afar as like, look, I know the rumors.
Yeah.
Like, we've known them for a while. Like, we've been aware of the quote-unquote rumors, but I didn't know if it was like, all right, is there more out there? Are there people now reporting other things? Is it now rumors that I don't know about, that there's others to add to it? Like, that was trying to follow that from afar to where you guys are engulfed, and it's like, look, here's what we can talk about. Here's what we can't talk about. Here's what I'll report. Here's what I won't report. Here's what's being said, but here's what I believe and not believe. Like, those are vastly different things. It's like working for
the won't even put stuff out there unless I'm sitting there telling
obviously
people.
Obviously, we haven't done that.
Follow Jason Riley. Follow reporters.
Yeah.
And they'll break it. Now, 2 weeks later, Mark is the reporter. Mark, yeah. And you know what? I trust every single word he's saying because he's just like we just talked about 2 weeks ago. This is not the nature of his job. He's not going to do this and put his neck out there unless he 100% has his own sources. These are not secondhand things that he's hearing.
Exactly.
He's talking to family members. He's talking to people that he trusts, mm-hmm. people that would know.
Yep, absolutely. And so his tweet today, now mind you, he was the one that had the Jordan Travis news last mm-hmm. week. He had the Russ Yeast news, which Louisville still hasn't acknowledged, by the way, that Russ Yeast is transferring. He had that on Tuesday or Monday, either way, earlier this week. And he tweets here, this was from this morning, this was roughly around 11 o'clock, says, according to a source within the athletic department, in the fall 2018 semester alone, 20 Louisville football players have requested the required paperwork to initiate a transfer. Number was described as, quote, abnormally high, the most for one sport since the women's lacrosse fiasco, end quote. He goes on to say, this doesn't mean that all 20 players have submitted the paperwork or will. Just that 20 football players have requested the required paperwork that initiate the transfer process this semester compared to a much smaller number in your typical semester. Now, he was asked a question, and he says someone would say, I thought they didn't need permission, and he was clarifying and saying they still have to request paperwork, fill it out, and submit it. Once it's submitted, U of L is required to put them in the transfer portal within 48 hours, like Jordan Travis was put in last week was yeah. the transfer portal, which, by the way, which means Russ Yeast should be put in the transfer portal any day now. He goes on to report, and this is the other side from the Louisville side, says an athletic department representative contacted me and disputes that Louisville has had this many football players request transfer paperwork. I stand by my earlier report, but in the interest of full disclosure, Louisville denies it. My immediate reaction to that is Mark told you the story on Jordan Travis. The Louisville football program told you he left because he had an illness. I will go with Mark on these issues right now because one side is reporting the facts by, you know, sourcing it. The other side is putting out information that's false to make them look good.
Baghdad bobbing it.
Yes, absolutely. And so when you've got the Jordan Travis being released to certain media members that he's sick, and then you get the real story that he ain't sick, he's just unhappy and didn't like the situation and his quarterback's coach and the way things were rolling, and then you get the exit interview of, oh, yeah, that's exactly what he was saying, and then you get the Rust Yeast thing, and then you get this, and they're like, no, that's not true. You kind of lost credibility when you were releasing to your sources and, by the way, trying to traffic on their credibility by putting out false information to make yourself look good. Now they're trying to put out false information to Mark Innes, who's like, yeah, that's what they said. I'm going with my report because I know what I'm doing here. I know who I've talked to. I know my sources on this, and I know this is a train wreck. It's a disaster right now, and it is a lot of people trying to jump off the ship when that thing is sinking, and it might be those that have been wanting to get off the ship anyway and maybe just didn't even want to continue with the ride as it is. And so when we talk about, well, will Brom do this and will Brom do that, and the jokes about, you know, me having a second child and will Brom here and this, the connection to me is, at what point do we discuss when it becomes, if it, you know, hasn't already got there, justifiable for Vince Tyree to make a move mid-season and not wait to the end if things like this are going to keep up? Is there a level, Dave, that it gets to in the program to where you go, you're doing more irreparable harm or harm that takes longer to repair by keeping Bobby the last 3 weeks if more of these guys are going to go, I'm out, as opposed to saying, not only with your words, but with your actions, this will not continue. He will not be the head coach. Trust us in what we're doing, which would be in the best interest of you. You can still transfer at semester, but wait and see what we're going to offer you and what's going to happen with the next head coach. Is there a point to where Tyree just has to step in and go, people are leaving, people are decommitting, this is getting to the point to where I've got to do something now?
If you asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said no.
Agreed.
And I think that we were all on the same page there, that there was no positives to be gained by asking a coach in the middle of the year, not in college. You know, but at this point, it's become so poisonous and so toxic that players are taking the situation in their own hands as much as they can. And they're asking for a way out.
And willing to talk to let people know what's going on behind the scenes and why they're leaving. Look, it's not just that I wasn't getting playing time, so I'm leaving. It's, man, there's a lot of things going on there that you
gotta
know.
I won't tell you one name, but every single member of the Crunch Zone, the blog that I work for, you know, the podcast that we put out every week, we all get direct messages from players, mm-hmm. from players' parents,
yep.
from recruits. We don't solicit any of that. All right, they're looking for people to talk to. Okay, and we get a lot of information, and none of it's good.
And that's what, see, and that's why there's 100% belief from me and Mark, is because this stuff is now rising to the surface, where the last month it's been festering and there's been commentary, and those that have said these things are going on that hasn't necessarily been from, you know, people inside the program or those that are now outside the mm-hmm. program that were inside, that are now talking and letting people know, you know, what's going on and what their version of what's going on is. This has been seeping out for the last month or so. And you're right. There have been people that have been reaching out as in, hey, man, here's what's going on. And you got older players. You got Jake Smith that's talked to other players that have been around the program a little bit longer, that's saying the same thing that's going on. And this is what happens when, look, when you are a coach a certain way and you're winning, it's the ends justifies the means to a certain degree. When it doesn't, it
galvanizes the players,
right?
Success does, and there's you're not going to get a lot of unrest in the
and when it starts to go sideways, you get the lack of trust in the coaches. You get people saying, well, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You got people saying, well, I'm not doing that. Well, people saying, well, I'm not going to be treated that way if that's the case.
Especially with guys with no resumes.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, I'm out, man. I don't want to be a part of this this program that is just completely off the rails and has no sort of clear view and track to be successful and get to the position they were 2 years ago, unless a drastic change is made, which is Bobby's out, the coaching staff is out, and somebody like a Jeff Brohm comes in. And I say that because, again, this is the next part of it. I don't think Jeff Brohm comes in and looks at the roster and goes, oh, my God, there's nobody here.
No, there is baseline talent.
But when does it get
position.
There? But when does Tyree have to step in and say it can't get there? Like, it can't get to the point to where the next coach is like, yeah, the Louisville program isn't as appealing anymore because, you know, this guy left and that guy left and this guy left and that guy left and this guy's so mad and the recruits have all left as well. Like,
we're not losing no names at this point. I mean, Jordan Travis was supposed to be the quarterback of the future. You know, Russ East was a 4-star defensive back. You know, these were guys that had baseline talent. They, you know, they were highly sought after players. And some of the other names that we're hearing behind closed doors could be really devastating, and I am not Mark Ennis. I know I'm not going to tell you anything I've heard because none of it's substantiated at this point. But believe me, this isn't the end. This is the beginning.
That's
if they don't do something soon. And I try to tell people, like, when there has been a lot of noise and a lot of hullabaloo made about players' efforts on the field, and it's one of those things that, man, unless you've been in a toxic locker room and you've seen what it can do to players, and it's not. 85 scholarship guys don't come to Louisville saying, I'm going to loaf it and take it easy. All right, you know how hard it is to have a player-born problem like this? Like, everybody gets Division I scholarships. They don't back into them. They generally work their ass off for them. All right, their default setting is maximum effort. That's what I try to tell
people. You're playing D1 football by loafing it in the weight room.
Yeah, there are very few guys that get to this level on natural ability alone. All right, and to have
you were one of them, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
100%. That's why they were clamoring. They were clamoring to offer me a preferred walk-on status.
Where's Dave? That's just natural. I mean, he loafs it all the time, but that natural ability. We should just get that out of him.
The charisma.
I mean,
Jesus, just the charisma of the locker room presence.
That guy's going to really help our GPA
for a time. But yeah, man, when you get to that point, generally you've worked your ass off for those papers, you know, and you don't come to Louisville looking to cut corners. You don't come to Division 1A schools looking to loaf it on the field. You're here to show out, you know. And it takes a serious systemic problem to get more than a couple of dudes on that field not trying their hardest. If they don't feel like they're in position to win, if they're not prepared to play during the week, I mean, it's a disease, but it generally doesn't happen from the players out. It happens from the coaching staff down.
Yeah, and plus, if it happened from the players out, this is the entire roster of Bobby's guys.
Yeah.
This is year number 5.
That's
every
other,
single player
that's
is
the other
his
side
player.
Of it.
So even if these players are quitting and they're just loafing and they just don't have it,
you recruited them.
You brought every single one of these guys in. So every single scholarship, all 85 are your recruits.
So at the end of the day, there is no
sort of
finger
out
that doesn't point back to Bobby.
Yeah, 100%. And so it's in this position now. And I thought about this in the first hour, and I didn't connect it until I was in the conversation. Andy and I were talking about this. We spent the first 45 minutes of the show talking about the UK and the Duke game, which I'll, you know, certainly want to talk to you about as well. But we got into this discussion, and it was, we were talking, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's sort of, popped up in my head that the last 3 weeks, Bobby Petrino has said something similar in how you get this thing fixed. And he has said, essentially, well, we just got to go to work, and we got to keep doing our responsibilities as a student athlete. We got to go to class. We got to keep doing this. We got to keep doing that. Like, how often has he said we got to keep doing our responsibilities as a student athlete? I've never heard him say that before, and he said it 3 weeks in a row now. And now you get Travis is gone. Russ East is gone. 20 different players have asked for transfer paperwork. Like, to me, that's a clear, and I don't know for a fact, but that feels like a clear correlation of Bobby saying, yeah, you got to do your responsibility as a student athlete. You're here as a student athlete, and you may not like it, may not like what's going on, but you got to go to class, you got to go to the film room, you got to go to practice, you got to do this.
You got to get that $500,000 bonus. Yeah,
you got to do the APR, because I got $500,000 on the line, damn it. Well, yeah, I need that cash.
Starting weeks ago, maybe week three, he sounded like a guy that was failing. Like, he didn't really know what was going on. Like, he didn't know how to fix it.
He was a lesser version of Butch Jones when he said, we're all Americans at life.
Right. Exactly. It was like once he figured out. And my good friend Mark Blankenbaker, who started the Crunch Zone, he published a video of Dan Mullen the other day talking about there's no leaders in the locker room, this and mm-hmm. that. But you haven't heard that from Bobby this year. Like, he said, amen. But, yeah, you know what? You've never heard that from Bobby this year. You haven't heard him, you know, really lash out and talk about, because he knows that he has no legs to stand on.
Yeah,
he knows he's got no standing to come at these players. And he knows his staff is failing. He knows it.
Texas says, "I'm sorry, go ahead."
No, that's why he's focusing on all these things that aren't football.
He's focusing on things that aren't football. Like, you need to do your responsibility as a student athlete, because he's got so many players that have requested transfer paperwork.
Exactly,
because they're looking to get out, and he's saying, "No, you've got a responsibility here."
There is no on the field solution for him in his situation right now.
That's
become clear.
No. Texas says, once Bobby is gone, do the players start talking and letting the fans know how bad the locker room was? Yes.
Yeah, generally that's honestly how it happens.
I think you'll get more on the record of those things. I think when the new coach is hired and meets the team, that will immediately stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will be of the past, and they'll be moving on, and there won't be any more of these stories of anything like that coming from the players. It'll be that's then, this is now, and the new coach will come in and go, that is the kibosh. All right, you talked, I'm here now. That was that. I don't want to hear anybody talking about the previous regime or what happened here or what happened there. From this point moving forward, we are moving forward.
We need a culture reset.
With this, absolutely. Yeah. It's toughness. It's together. We're all in here, and that's the way we're going to view this. That's how it's going to be. Like, that's going to be the case. So you'll hear it from the time Bobby's fired until the new coach is hired officially. Then you'll probably hear some players come out and talk and 100%. Say those things. And by the way, players that are going to the NFL, or at least the NFL Combine, things like that, like if Jalen Smith gets an invite to the Combine. Like,
he probably will. I mean, I would have said it was 100% before the season.
Agreed. But if he does, or if anybody on this team gets an invite to the NFL Combine, like, they'll be there meeting with reporters for an entire day. And if Bobby's fired,
meeting
there will
with
be
teams too.
Yep, there will be questions about, like, on the record with reporters, with cameras and microphones in front of them about, well, so what happened with Bobby? Like, what? Yeah. How did the thing go so fast? Like, what was the case there?
And it won't be hard to convince NFL personnel that Bobby was the problem. they're predisposed for that. But
so, yeah, it's a very, very good point on that aspect. Well, touché, sir.
One of the sad things about this situation is that guys like Jalen, and I know that some people have been down on him for a while. Last year he had a couple of bad drops, you know, the year before last, really. I still think he's an NFL-type player, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him make a roster next year, but you're not going to see these guys get drafted and get paid like they should have. You know, some of these dudes that are coming out of college, because their tape is awful.
Yeah.
Their film this year is terrible.
Plus, you've got film of guys quitting. You've got film of guys giving up and not working. Texas says, does the 20 include Yeast and Travis, or is it 20 more? The 20 includes those guys.
It would include anybody that requested papers.
Anybody who's requested papers. They've not only requested papers, they filed papers.
Them.
So it would be 18 others besides Travis and Russ Yeast.
Does the tape look worse for some of these players? And not that the roster is entirely similar, but I know there have been instances over the past two or three seasons where games where Louisville kind of got hit on the chin in the first half, the critique of the team was in the second half, they kind of seemed to give up. Does that kind of aid the argument that the coaching staff was kind of contributing to what happened with these players, or do you think that's kind of more an issue for the players?
Well, when you see film, Look, they're not. They might give a little bit of credit to the coaching stuff, but absolutely, it's going to hurt the players. You know, they want to see you compete regardless of who your coach is. But what it does speak to is a complete lack of culture, which is what I've been talking about since week one. You know, not week one, but week two, week three, and what I've referred to in years past with Bobby is that it feels like there's no culture, not just winning culture, but it's. Culture permeates everything, you know, discipline, how you talk to your teammates, how you talk to your coaches, how you interact with your coaches. Do you believe in your coaches? The drills they put you through every day, the attitude you take to the locker room. This is all culture, and there is none here, and then you can tell.
And the difference between if you're saying, well, is this the players or is this the coaches? The difference is if it was a player here or a player there. Well, then that's a player issue.
Or roster, yeah.
But when the roster is sort of just checking out, and I've used that word a lot with Louisville fans and players as well, that it feels like the checking out. This team felt like their belief in the coaches went away fast, as if their belief in the coaches was based on winning. Yeah. That as long as they're winning, okay, there's a belief there, that there may not have been a trust there the entire time, but as long as it came with wins, that was fine. And as soon as it started not working and it went the other direction and you're kind of getting embarrassed, now you're saying, well, I don't, what's this guy know? What's that guy know? Well, we're going to, this is what, that trust in the coaches went away fast. And if it was one or two guys, that's on the player. But when you see it sort of overall in so many games, that's systemic. That's from the top
exactly.
down.
With guys that I've seen perform in the past.
Yeah, right. That's the other point.
And
yeah.
That's what kills me.
Guys that in losing effort still have been working in the fourth quarter.
And I know I know where they come from, and I know their work ethic, and I know what kind of people they are. You know, not all of them, but there's certain guys that I do. And
if you're guessing now, do you think Bobby is the coach against Kentucky?
I don't. If I have to guess now,
if you're guessing right now today, not knowing if there's going to be more out, we just know the report today about 20 different people have requested transfer paperwork out of the 85 scholarship players on Louisville. And by the way, that wouldn't include guys that are already going pro or seniors.
Right.
So it's not only 20 out of 85, it's 20 out of guys that still have eligibility left next year.
And they're rotation guys, and they're like, yeah. At our current trajectory, I say no way. That's how I feel.
I'm in agreement.
And I've heard this, this, and this. If we get blown up by 40, 50 points by Syracuse, how does he last the weekend? Honestly. I mean, we got 14 days left.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be able to step, because right now Vince Tyree can't go to players direct. He can to a degree, but he can't go around Bobby
right.
and say, just hold on.
This guy's going to be gone.
You can't do that because then, it leaks out, and then your reputation as an athletic director and circumventing your coaching staff, chain of command,
I'm not working for that guy.
Absolutely not. So there's a certain way of doing things. And normally I would say firing a coach during the season is one of those things you don't do.
Agreed.
As an athletic director, but this is a special circumstance, and just like the NFL personnel, I don't think it would be that hard to convince another coach that this was a special circumstance. Mm-hmm. It's Bobby Petrino,
and it won't be hard to convince fans. It wouldn't be hard to convince media types. It would be like, oh, that's ridiculous in college. You would fire a coach midseason. This is one. There's no love lost for Bobby, so there's not a lot of.
And there was only two games left, and it's one of those things where just look, we are hemorrhaging players, we are hemorrhaging recruits, and that's not done either. By the way,
exactly. Yeah,
like you can't. You're a fool if you think that the first three decommits is all that's going to happen.
Yeah, like I am. I wish I could do the math right now. Magic, can you help me out and do the math very quickly? Very quickly in your head. Can you look at the 85 scholarships for Louisville and see how many are seniors? And then we can throw Jalen Smith in the mix because he was going to go pro anyway.
Yeah.
He's gone. Like I don't know who else would be going pro. As well from this team that would leave early, like Grenard was thought of at one point. But
I think he needs more film. I think he needs more.
Well, I know
tape.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, at one point, he would have at the beginning of the season. You're like, well, this might be the last year that Jonathan Grenard is there. And then the first game happens, and it's like, well,
I actually
might be the last game, not last game, but last season or whatever.
And this is the bad time. You know, this is inevitable in a situation like this. And I hate to say, like, it's
14.
When you have players.
So 14 seniors out of the 85 scholarship players. So now you're talking about 20 of 71 have actually requested. Excuse me, take away Jalen Smith, 20 of 70. At least Jalen Smith, we know for a fact, is not asking for transfer paperwork.
Yeah.
All right. He's asking for, I need to get the NFL stuff ready to go, the NFL paperwork, and who's my agent going to be, and I need to start planning for a little bit of that. Like, that might be the case with Jalen Smith. So 20 of 70.
That's
20 of 70 players that would have eligibility left have asked for paperwork.
All I hope is that, and not for my sake as a Louisville fan, and not for our program, I mean, to a degree, sure, but for these kids, for these players, I hope that they do themselves, they don't do themselves a disservice, and they hold on until we see who the new coach is. Because, I mean, as much as I believe from the people that I trust that Jeff Brohm will be the next coach here, nothing's a sure thing.
Absolutely, you're right.
Nothing's a sure thing. So I would hope that they hold on until after Bobby's gone and figure out who the next guy comes in and lets them kind of get re-recruited. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those things that you lose a year.
I think that's where you make the move, is to where you're sending – like, I think people already know.
It has to be a strong move. It has to be a guy like Brohm. It has to be a culture changer, a guy who's been proven to be a good recruiter and a guy who knows the city. He's going to know a lot of these players because he recruited a lot of the same guys. And he's just going to be able to hopefully step in and kind of save the program, because that's what we're gonna need. We're gonna need a hero, all right. And maybe that's the song we'll sing.
That's exactly right. Yes, I'm looking at the two deep that's released for the Syracuse game, and those listed on the two deep, some are three deep. Like the cornerback position has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players listed.
You know what they say, when you have 7 corners, you don't have any corners.
By the way, Russ East is still listed on the depth chart for Louisville against Syracuse.
They haven't acknowledged that he's transferring.
I know. But out of all the players that are listed on the depth chart, 10 of those are seniors.
Yeah.
So you can just eliminate those as ones that would be asking for paperwork. I'm just saying, just pointing that at just to, sort of in general.
Yeah.
What movie do you think of when this comes on? I think of one scene specific, and only one scene.
I'm assuming you're thinking of Footloose.
I am. But
You're thinking of the tractors playing chicken?
100%.
Okay.
But a lot of people were weighing in and saying they think of Short Circuit when this
okay.
comes on.
And a third percentage saying Shrek 2.
Shrek 2, the younger kids. But I was like,
you've talked about this before.
Did you guys hear Shrek's getting rebooted?
Oh, stop it.
They're doing that. And guess who's rebooting it?
You can't.
The Despicable
Michael
Me
Bay.
Studios.
Oh, I want it Michael Bay.
You can't reboot
that. Castle's being blown up.
You can't reboot an animated series.
Apparently you can.
It's not a new cast.
Apparently you can. Yeah, we did a Twitter poll, right, of what's the thing you think of when you hear the song. I think the majority was that it was Footloose.
I mean, a hero.
Kevin Bacon was a brave man that day.
Oh, yeah.
He did not want to eject at all. He was not trying to get out of that tractor. But it was like Short Circuit, and it was
Sean Penn's brother.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that is right, man. Well, somebody had to teach him how to dance.
That's right.
It's not a lot of time left, but let's let's change the subject, by the way.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. By the way, I was going to point this out. I had an election take.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know, right?
Seriously. No.
An election take in Florida.
Hit me with it.
They voted, did Florida, to take the expanded gaming out of the hands of the legislation and put it in the hands of the voters, which sounds good in theory. But the NFL teams did not want that to pass. They were all on record as saying, vote no, vote no, vote no. Not that they had an issue with gambling. They wanted expanding gaming to be approved. But when they approved this, and now it goes from the legislation to the voters, it now needs almost 1 million signatures just to get on the ballot.
Oh.
And when it's on the ballot, it needs 60% of the vote to be passed. So what they're saying is this: if you voted for this to be taken out of the hands of the legislation, they're not doing expanded gaming in Florida. It's not going to happen.
Man.
And so the report now, at least the rumor, is that vote in the election yesterday could be as big of a driving force for Shahid Khan to move to London and take the Jags out of Jacksonville that has expanded gaming, that he was like, I might be staying to see if this can be something that there's extra income that can come along with this in Florida. And then the Florida residents were like, no, we don't want the expanded gaming in the state, that it could lead then more of an expedited process of the Jags to end up in London. And
by the way,
every owner would say yes if he says I'm moving to London. It would be unanimously approved, by the way.
By the way,
to move to London.
Found that poll, Fan for his own question.
You found it? Good job.
If you hear the song I Need a Hero, do you think of Footloose, Shrek 2, or Short Circuit 2? Footloose won with 52%, Shrek 2, 33%, Short Circuit 2, 15%.
That's still high.
Yeah, I know.
That's still high.
I did not know before that day there was a Short Circuit 2.
Really?
Texter says, this is a UK fan. Please don't fire Bobby until after the UK game.
Fair enough.
That's, You know, that's not wrong. But okay, so there's the Florida election take. Got
who,
it in there.
What's he scared of? Brian Van Gorder?
Yes. Mike Summers taking over. And it's like, let me really call the plays now.
BVG is like the only guy who has head coaching experience on that staff. Oh, it would probably be Summers
or Ward.
It would be Summers. It's not going to be.
See, I would think it would be Summers, but Mark said he heard that it might be Ward if that were the case. Those are the two.
6-1, 6-1/2 the other for me.
You ain't hiring Van Gorder to be the interim. No, not with the way the fans.
No, I don't
are,
really.
Are
I don't really think. I don't really think it's going to happen.
It'll be Summers or what if they hire Klonakis? What if they bring him back to the interim? That'd be crazy, right? More Duke or more Kentucky last night?
Just so crazy in my work.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's
this guy hasn't been around it all year. He was the missing ingredient of keeping the entire culture and the Louisville program running.
Right. I think the result had more to do with Duke, but I think that you can take more out of it for Kentucky, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, it does. Yeah. Nationally, it's all about Duke.
It is.
And how crazy the talent is.
And it is crazy, you know, but it's not that surprising, I think. Like, it's surprising that they lost, but don't get me wrong. It's surprising that they lost by 34 and that they gave up 118 points. Is that the most Calipari has given up at Kentucky?
It has to be, right? The largest margin of defeat for Cal in
his
career.
It has to be the most he's given up at Kentucky, too.
I mean, I'd have to imagine.
You don't give up over 100 points that often.
No, in fact, I think the number that I saw last night was Cal hadn't given up 100 in his career.
Yeah, that makes sense.
At UK. I don't know what UMass would, but at UK, no team had scored 100.
That's like, those type of numbers are like you're pushing the modern era records for most, especially elite programs.
Yeah, you're not Loyola.
Yeah, exactly.
Loyola would put up 215 last night.
But
Kentucky would have also scored 160, but still.
Right. I feel like you saw a team that, I mean, obviously the Duke's not going to shoot like that all the time, but they really ran Kentucky off the floor, and there were times where, I mean, Kentucky looked like they lacked guard play to a degree.
Point guard is an issue, defense is an issue, and just like we're talking about Louisville,
an issue.
I think Kentucky defensively and effort wise checked out of that game. Like I think they were with 10 minutes left to go in the first half, the game was over.
Yeah,
it was absolutely over.
And that can happen when you don't necessarily have a leader established. You don't necessarily have a winning. I don't want to say culture games. We just talked about that. But they reset that every year. Even though this isn't necessarily a freshman-driven team, they're still finding their identity and finding who their leaders are.
Like I think it also impacts when you've got 9 guys, and this is not here's an excuse because Cal has depth. Not at all.
No.
I think if you're deciding who my point guard is, it's tough to even decide, okay, who my leader on the floor is going to be. You've got 4 guys that are involved in the rotation in the front court. You got a Reed Travis, a P.J. Washington. You got E.J. Montgomery that you put in and felt like you were getting something from him. Nick Richards was going to be a different player this year.
Didn't see that last
night. Didn't see it at all. And I think there's an easier, to a degree, it's tougher if you're coaching all freshmen and you're trying to get them into turn them into a team. I think there's a degree of it being easier with Kay that I know 4 starters – and I know who my 5th guy is going to be in Bolden. I know Trane Jones is my point guard. And I know the other, and I know if Bolden's in there, he's going to be on the block somewhere. And the other guys are going to play positionless basketball. Those are my guys.
And whereas Cal, top 3.
Yeah. Cal's like, it's Quickly, it's Hagans, is it Quade Green? Who's at the front court? Am I going with Reed Travis? Do I got to play him with PJ Washington? Do I need Nick Richards in there with Reed Travis? Or do I need EJ Montgomery in there? Like, all of those things still have yet to be decided. Kay's like, oh, I got the most talented team, and I know exactly who's out there. Those 4 guys, and then I'll figure it out. Yeah. After that, Jack White, he looked pretty good. O'Connell, that's fine. Some other dude that was a walk-on.
Yeah. I know my 5. Who cares about my next 3 or 4?
Right,
I know my 5.
Because
we can plug and play with everybody else.
I joked earlier, and I really think this is the case. If you put me and Andy as the 5th player and the 1st guy off the bench, does Duke still win 20 games this year?
Probably.
Yes. Probably. Those 4 and then me just standing in the corner like I'm Wynyan Gabriel half the time. Like I'm Derek Willis. Like I'm open. I'm like, shut up. You know, they're playing 4-on-5 because nobody's guarding me. You know, I give a little bit of a worry. They're like, well, I'll take Jason taking the 3-point shot rather than Zion leaping from the free throw line.
He's unreal. I mean, as far as the physical. And
it's
know.
Unfair. Unreal, but it's unfair.
It is unfair. And I know that it was a small minority of people, but when he weighed in at Duke and he was 285 and there was that small group of Kentucky fans that were like, ah, he's fat, I never wanted him. I didn't know he's a dump truck. The guy's got like 8% body fat. There's not a wasted ounce on him.
Yeah, Rick would have been like, He weighs too much. He's got too much fat there. We need more arc on his shot.
He's
fine.
He's a defensive end that can dunk from the free throw line.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Like they
yeah.
showed the stats. Aaron
he's
Judge.
Javon
is,
Curse.
Yeah, Aaron Judge is 6'8", 285. This guy's 6'8", 285. It's like he's Aaron Judge. Like you know what he would him on the basketball court looked big.
Yeah.
But you know how big he is because that's what he would look like on a baseball field
right.
is Aaron Judge, who looks like he's a Monstar.
Yeah. Oh,
which,
yeah.
by the way, somebody texted in earlier said, the first half felt like it was the Monstars versus the Looney Tunes, only the Looney Tunes were Kentucky.
that's crazy. But it's one of those things where
Duke isn't that good. And Kentucky isn't that bad.
Exactly. It's the first game of the year.
Yeah.
And Duke isn't super deep. You're going to see games this year where they get an injury problems.
Foul trouble.
Foul trouble is really what I'm talking about. Foul trouble early if they have one big injury. I mean, you're going to see them drop some games this year.
Yeah, they're not 40-0.
And Kentucky's probably still a top five team. I mean, I
agree.
But people are going to be alarmist. That's what they do. And we won't know anything.
First big game always feels like it's two games.
Yeah,
either two wins or two losses.
When it's the opening game of the year, there's really – you have no chance to kind of reset the narrative until they play the next big team, which was North Carolina?
Yeah, December 22nd.
There you go.
Well, Seton Hall is December 1st, I think.
And Seton Hall's a decent team.
So it's another test. It's another like, okay, here's a litmus test. Here's a barometer to see where you might be from where you were earlier. Because the next games for Kentucky are going to be about how do you improve defensively.
Right.
Because that's what it is. This team has no chance of being in Minneapolis if they play defense like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, we talked about we thought they were overacting, but Transy was getting to the basket, you know, when they were playing them. Starts to make you kind of realize why he was so keen on getting Ashton Hagans to reclassify because he didn't have point guard depth and knew that quickly wasn't going to be enough.
And that guy,
Green wasn't going to do it at the point.
And
so,
Hagans plays defense.
Because at the time I was sitting there going, do they need him? Is this really? And
the
I think
answer is yes.
Now we know.
We all need Dave. A little more in our life and a little more karaoke. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, everybody, enjoy the night on 680.
You are listening to the Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3-6. Only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Are you ready to get behind the wheel of a UPS tractor trailer? Seasonal tractor trailer drivers earn $32 an hour. Drivers must be at least 21 years of age, have a Class A CDL with T endorsement, 2 years of tractor trailer experience, and be able to drive a standard transmission. As a driver, you could participate in team driving, in-town runs, or help at a local UPS facility. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.